CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah, we're almost at the end of August, and we're here for another episode of the Gareth Cliff Show this morning with Pumi Mashiko, and with me and with you, and that is all we need. It's fantastic. And a little later, the Burning Platform, which is always one of my favorite things to do in the week, because we get to talk to smart people about things that are going on, and we get to face the big stories dead on. We get to face our fears or our dreams, whichever you prefer, and we get to talk directly about stuff that's happening around us. No pussyfooting around, you know, playing the ball instead, I mean the man instead of the ball or any of that shit. We get straight to the point. It's one of my favorite things. Pumi, how are you?
Bright and early. Bright and early this morning. Everybody's talking about sunrises. And I'm at home. I'm so excited to be home and not at office.
Yeah.
This morning.
Good.
Looking out into Joburg sunrise.
Yeah, I see some people here like Rusty saying, sitting outside my veranda, on my veranda, having a coffee, yet another magnificent sunrise. Oh, nice. You see? And then everybody says, yes, nothing like an African sunrise. Beautiful. It is special. This is very, very special. Yeah. No, this is great. So, some new people. Brandon. We haven't met Brandon before. On leave today and watching live for the first time. Isn't that nice?
Welcome
indeed. I mean, he's listened before, but this is the first time he's listening live. And Tutuko, who is listening, Tutuko Makatini. There's a good surname, Makatini, all the way from probably I'm guessing KwaZulu Natal.
Originally. Maybe Swaziland.
Maybe Swaziland as well. Yeah. So, Pums, we've got a whole list of things that I want to get to this morning. First thing I want to show you, and this is just because we take politicians on a Thursday way too seriously. Check this guy out. I saw this. Someone sent me this. It's probably on TikTok, and then, you know, they cut it.
I thought you were going to say dancing film.
No, it's better than that. Watch this. This is fantastic, all right? If you're not watching, I'll explain what it is after the video, so stick around. I know it's frustrating when we play these video clips and you're listening to the podcast, but I'll explain it to you. And you can always watch what we're doing on YouTube, right? So here it is.
The ANC has conducted a desktop research on companies with capabilities locally and internationally and found an entire database of companies.
Ah, Marva Fitch, ANC Vizwa, now to white to Ramazazanji, a TV.
So the guy. So the guy from the ANC is proudly wearing his ANC shirt. There's ANC branding in the background, but his spectacles, his glasses, the arm on the one side has broken off, and it's kind of up at an odd angle. And he broke them just before the press conference started, so he couldn't fix them in time.
Listen, in the man's defense, I'm a glass wearing person. Mm-hmm. I am like glasses Twitter. I know what it's like to not be able to, like, now he must go on and he must read and he must hold his paper and the glasses are broken. Listen. I'm sure there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for this. The poor guy probably just.
Shame.
This is it. Give me my glasses.
Yeah. I don't have time. Quickly. So anyway, I just thought that was really fun.
But because is it better? You know how sometimes like the grandparents, I don't know if your parents wore glasses and if they did this, sometimes they'll just like hold their glasses over their face
This. I want one day when I'm old, because I think it's just such an old school thing that nobody does anymore. I want a monocle. I want one of those just one lens that you can put over one eye and you can actually put it into the folds of your eye. And then you have a monocle and you kind of stare at people with your monocle in. I want that. I think it's an awesome thing. It's such a power play. So watch me one day when I need glasses all the time. I'm not going to have them. For reading, I'm going to use a monocle. That's going to be me.
I just got my phone back again from the repairs. And I was updating my Snapchat avatar, and one of the avatars actually has a monocle.
Yeah.
I was very tempted.
Nice.
Very tempted. But
I'm
a
doing,
gold monocle.
I'm telling you, I'm doing the monocle. I think it's a great thing. I think there are too few people who use monocles these days, and I'm going to bring them back. I just don't even know where you'd get them. Would you go to an optometrist? Would they be able to do that for you?
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking about it and wondering really what kind of help it is, because you need both your eyes to be able to see, you know.
No.
So what is the monocle about? Because even like reading with just one of your eyes isn't great. So I don't know what the monocle
is. I'm doing the one eye. I'm doing the one. It looks scary and weird, and I'm going to do it. Okay, so wait. There'll be a few more birthdays, but it's coming.
Because really, Gareth, again, glasses, Twitter here, speaking from experience, but you need both of them eyes working properly to be able to anything, like watching TV, even reading off a page.
Okay, but
because
I have...
It's just like one.
So I went shooting a couple of days ago with... when you go shooting, you have to figure out which eye is your stronger eye, right? And my left eye is way stronger than my right eye. So I would probably put the monocle in my right eye to make them equal. That's what I would do. Because my left eye, I can see perfectly. I have no problems there at all. But I sometimes see, like if I've been looking at a screen for a long time, this right eye battles a little bit. You see how old we are, Pumi? These are conversations we would never have had.
You know what? Last week, I think after the show, I think on Thursday, I went to like a really interesting dinner. You know those dinners where clever people are having all sorts of conversation, and the topic of the discussion was about the complexity in South Africa, dealing with the complexities in South Africa.
Okay.
And one of the people at our table is an investment banker, and she works in retail investment for retirement, speaking of age, right? And she was like, oh, you know, of the problems that they face is that South Africans don't save, especially for their retirement. So we did a little exercise at looking at the life expectancy of South Africans.
And?
Gareth.
And what did you
Gareth.
And what did you discover?
67.
Oh, my God. That's not very long.
General. 67.
That's scary.
And, like, I think 65 for men.
Oh, my
right?
God. Oh. Oh. That's another 20 years for me that I'm finished. Chile time. Jesus. That's terrifying. What are you telling me? 65 is the average age in South Africa? Of life expectancy? Oh, my God. I'm not very happy with that. Oh.
So I'm just saying, celebrate every one of these birthdays coming up, young man.
Don't remind me of that in a while, okay? If you possibly help it, just keep that to yourself from now on. Oh, my God. All right. Gareth, what are your plans for your birthday? Anything special or different? I celebrate for a week for my birthday. Now, look.
Yeah, but?
Again, I don't have any plans at all. I don't want any. I'm having dinner with the family tomorrow night, which is my actual birthday. That's good enough for me. Don't need to do anything else. I'm not planning anything else. And I don't feel like I'm missing out if I don't do anything else. You see, I get plenty of attention, and I've had in my life plenty of attention, so I don't need any more. So where most of us wake up in the morning on our birthdays and we're like, oh, it's my special day, I really genuinely feel, and this is not some kind of thought up after the fact excuse, I get a lot of love and attention every day of my life. I'm very lucky. I've had it for 25 years, even the love and attention of strangers, which doing the job that I do is a real privilege, and it's something that makes me feel very, very pleased and self-satisfied a lot of the time, but never spoilt and arrogant. So I don't need more than that, if you know what I mean. I don't need to then up the ante, take all of that goodness, and then try to multiply it, because there's enough. And I really feel I don't want any more tomorrow. I may or may not see some of my friends on Saturday, but if I do, it'll be a very much last minute kind of just a simple get together. And I've got things to do this weekend that do not involve parties. So we'll see how it goes.
Doesn't have to be a party.
Mm-mm. No.
Doesn't have to be a party, just saying. It can also be sitting at home watching Netflix.
I could easily do it. But you had such a nice day on, what was it, Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday night. I came home after a quite long, busy day. And I just lay in front of the TV for a bit. I never watch TV. So I watched some TV. I watched JJ Tabane for a little bit, which was really cool. In fact,
who did he have on this week?
Kasatu, about the nationwide strike. Yes, that was on Tuesday. And he also spoke about whistleblowers, which is something we're going to talk about this morning. So I'm glad to see that we are on the same page on that front. But then I switched over and started watching some like comedies on Comedy Central. I watched a little bit of what did they have on? Had like this omnibus of, I think it wasn't Friends and it wasn't 2.5 Men. Could have been, I don't know. Anyway, one of those comedies. I you know, when you just lie there and you don't actually take it all in, you catch up on all your messages on your phone. You don't have to do anything. You're just, there's no rush. Oof. There's no pressure. You don't feel like you have to go to bed because I have to be up really early. So I just lay there for a little bit. So it was nice. And being
Are
lazy.
Are you watching House of Dragons?
I haven't yet. Have House you watched it? Have you watched it yet?
No, because I'm waiting for a couple of episodes. I have become so spoiled. I can't actually handle this nonsense of one episode a week anymore. What else did I see that also? On Amazon Prime, they've got really interesting documentary about a basketball player. And I was like, one episode? Really? One episode?
Yeah, no. I want to have a whole bunch that I can really get my teeth into. So I think I'm going to wait with House of the Dragon. I've seen a couple of memes going around already. And you've got to be careful how much social media you take in if you want to watch a series without any pollution, you know. So I'll get into it. Thank you very much. Someone says here that they really loved the Larry Elder interview, which we did here. Duncan says that Elder was great. Well, he may be running for president, and that's getting him a lot of heat from the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, the Democrats are saying, oh, please, you know, who do you think you are to run? And you're going to lose. You lost to Newsom in California, blah, blah, blah. The Republicans are going, no, don't run. You'll split the vote in California. So he's going to go ahead and do it anyway. He says his main thrust is to talk about the breakdown of the family. And he wants to get the family back together. He wants to.
Oh, wow.
He says that is the best thing you can do, not only for Black America, but for America. He said that is the problem that they feel is at the heart of all America's other woes, which is interesting. Woody says the word you're looking for is spoilers. Yeah, I mean, pollution, spoilers. You know what I mean? Because on the internet, sometimes they it's not really always a spoiler. It's just like some funny meme that you get. And then you're not sure where it fits in, right?
And now when that scene comes on, all you can think about is that meme and all the funny ways they use it.
Exactly. So I'll just avoid. As Damon used to say, avoid! So Pums, I had a thought last night and I actually wrote this down and said, this is something we should talk about today. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. You don't have to choose one of mine, but which discovery or invention do you think would be the most impressive and would be the most incredible and the most life-changing for all people on earth? All right. I'm going to give you a few that I wrote down and you can obviously add anyone that you want to, but obviously, a cure for cancer, a lot of people would say, is the number one thing on that list. Because so many people die of cancer, there's got to be a way we can stop the body from turning on itself like that. There's so many people who know someone or have themselves had cancer. And, you know, you just think, well, if we could sort that disease out, we would be a lot better off. So that's the obvious one. But I thought, like, obviously, you know, being completely fantastical, I would love if they could invent a time machine. I mean, that would be my heaven. So a time machine would be at the top of any list. And I know it's kind of unrealistic and, you know, there's no way you could go back in time and not change the present. But maybe if there is this theory of parallel universes, that it is possible.
Ooh.
And then I'd love to go back in time and forward in time and just see what kinds of things happen to the human race and what sorts of people end up in charge where and, you know, these great events in history. And that would be my own heaven. So obviously that's one. A food pill I've often spoken about on the show where you could take one pill and it would do all the nutritional needs for one day. You wouldn't have to eat and you wouldn't be hungry. That would be an amazing thing.
You know what I think would be an absolutely amazing thing is if we could free people from toil, from having to like run around like hamsters to make money to live so that they can like do other stuff. If people could be freed from like toil and therefore can do anything else, you can be an artist, a musician, you can read all day if you wanted. You could, without having to worry that, you know, you could have the kind of day that you had the other day without having to worry that you lose your house or your car or go hungry. If you could free people from toil,
but don't you think that would be. Don't you think a lot of people would just be very lazy? I mean,
no, I think we would find people. There are lots of things. Think about how people can fill their weekends with stuff.
Yeah, but a lot of
can
it is.
Can fill their weekends with stuff.
A lot of it is not, and it's not the particularly.
The worst thing is kind of like life admin. A lot of it is?
Well, a lot of the things that people fill their weekends with are just escape from the work and from the week.
That's, you know, my point.
Yeah.
Because everybody's trying to escape from the work. If we could free them from the work.
Well, I mean, maybe robots will do that for us in some way. You know, perhaps that's what will happen is ultimately those really, really insufferable jobs that are inhumane, that require long hours of doing the same thing over and over again and could be taken over by machines. If those, you know, those people aren't just replaced by robots, but they are given more meaningful jobs and a more meaningful existence where they can choose more of what they'd like to do. Instead of the drudgery. Ooh. Yeah, I think that would be great. But I've got a few more. What about an internal body temperature changer? Imagine if you could adjust, you know, when you're feeling too warm or too cold and you could just turn it up or down. Like imagine you had a little switch on your phone and it was connected to some chip inside you that regulated temperature. You just take it up or down a degree or two. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Mm.
I mean, that would be really handy. We'd no longer worry about clothing or the outside temperature, and you'd still wear clothes, but you'd be able to regulate.
For aesthetics.
Yeah, you'd be able to regulate your body temperature, and the weather would no longer make a difference to you. I think that would be quite helpful as a massive change, you know. And I'm talking about these society changes that would occur. Obviously, reverse aging medicine would be incredible. Indestructible bones and teeth. Can you imagine if we could take a pill and you would end up with like bones and teeth that were just 20 times harder and would last 20 times more? Obviously, another one that is inspired by like the Star Treks are this ability to beam around. So if I needed to beam to the studio right now, I could climb into this tube in my house and I'd switch it on and it would beam me out and beam me into the studio. And then I'd be there. Mm-hmm. Or if I had to go to a meeting, or if I had to be in Cape Town or in London or anywhere else. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Also,
what do you
fifth think? Element in the sci-fi world, right? Mm-hmm. So in the fifth element, one of the coolest things that I thought they had was that thing that Lulu gets into and then she's like dressed up. But also the little pod that you put on your face and then your makeup is all done.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, that would be good. It would save women a lot of time, right?
And it's always perfect. It's like, just put it by your face and then your eye makeup is done.
No, I think that would be amazing. Well, while we're on that, what about downloadable language patches for the brain? It's another thing we've spoken about on the show before. So, I mean, I've given you a couple of examples. There's maybe one more, a hangover cure. That would be a really helpful thing.
There's rechmakers.
They never work as well, hey? Do you have a surefire way? Do you have an absolute dead cert way of getting rid of a hangover?
No. Just don't get it. It's just one of those problems.
Well, you've been absolutely...
Don't have the problem.
You've been hopeless in that case. So, I mean, you don't know what people are like. All Lady says, a cheap device which will allow anyone to make enough clean water at home. That would be amazing. That would be absolutely
amazing. That would be
amazing. Carl says, no pooping. Imagine how much time you'd save if you didn't have to shit. That's a good point. That's absolutely... That's great. Yeah.
And how much time are y'all spending in the loo, guys?
Yeah, I listen, these are things I genuinely think about all the time. How about a pill that helps teeth? A pill that cures baldness? That's a good one.
That is a good one. And regulate, like, body weight.
A map to the G-spot, says Kapamba.
Diamond. I think the journey is part of the joy.
Yeah.
Kapamba, I think the journey is part of the joy.
And Dogoza says, what about a pill to cure all STIs and STDs and to prevent pregnancy? That would be useful.
We have one of those. We have one of those that prevents pregnancy.
Yes, we have the pill. The pill that prevents pregnancy. But maybe something a little more... certain, like dead certain, not you know, because there's still a chance you can still get pregnant, very small.
But you know, would also, I really think one of the things that would, something that kind of, if you not needing to sleep,
oh, wow.
Something that could refresh your body,
that would be amazing,
without actually having to spend 6 hours lying down with your eyes closed.
I like that. Well, you could actually do all the good of like a full night's sleep in, let's say, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you had all of that time at night as well.
And energy. Oh. And then you had all the energy.
That would be great.
That's the thing, right? The thing about sleep is if you don't sleep, then you don't have the energy.
Cabello says, a clone that will argue with your wife on your behalf.
Stop arguing with your wife. She's right.
Yeah, that's the best way to get out of that argument. Of course you're right. And then
she's right.
Get out as quick
she's
as you
right,
can.
She's right, Cabello. Your life will be so much better if you just accept that she is right.
Right. this is interesting. I'm really just trying to bring back raw dogging without feeling guilty about it. Doggles. Jesus.
Because of... It's 6:30 in the morning, guys.
Really?
6:30 in the morning.
Dude.
Stop this.
All right. Well, I was thinking of these things. And I thought anyone,
something that could tell me what my dog is thinking, that is a cool one.
That could be cool. Except it could also be a really frightening idea. but I was just thinking what would make, you know, if you really like the kind of wealth that you would have if you just invented one of those things that we've come up with this morning, one of them, you would be the richest person in the whole world. People are always like, how can I get rich? Well, invent any of those things that Pumi and I have discussed in the last 15 minutes, and you will have more money than you can imagine. Right, Pums?
Oh,
any of them.
People even, would pay good money for
even
that.
The hangover cure, people would pay. They'd give everything up. So look at this. This is something fun. Why you shouldn't be afraid of short people trying to carjack you. And by short people, By short people, I mean like dwarves or midgets.
Little people.
Little, whatever. Little people, dwarves, midgets. Here they are. Have a look at this and you'll see what we mean. Okay, you ready?
Pedro, Manda deixa tudo aqui, manda só corre, não vai pra trás, não. Só vai pra trás, vai lá a bala. Desgraçados!
So in case you couldn't see it, the short, the dwarf, the little person, carjacks the guy at gunpoint, wants his backpack. The guy puts his backpack on top of the car, you know, on the roof of the car, and then runs away. And the dwarf can't reach the backpack, and he gets very frustrated.
That is disgusting.
Okay. All right. Tracy says, I could have done with Pumi's sleep pill idea. It was an unexpected birth the other night and one of those days where I couldn't take a nap. Followed, somehow I operated on 2 hours of sleep. Oof. Ooh, exactly.
Oof.
Yeah. All right, let's get on with it. We've got lots of things to talk about today, and let's get to some headlines, see what's going on in the world. First things first is Kasatu and Saftu, who handed over a memorandum of demands to government. Of course, the irony is that they could have just done that in closed chambers because they are in the tripartite alliance. This is something I'll never understand. They have to put on a show, right? Someone reminded me of a story of the early days when Cyril, our current president, was the head of the National Union of Mine Workers. Do you remember all those years ago? And he went into a negotiation with, I think it was Anglo or one of them. All the Anglo guys are sitting on one side of the table. Cyril arrived, and he was waiting for his other people, and he sat down in the meantime opposite them, and he made his demands, and then they made their offer, and he took the offer, and he said, oh, this is actually quite good, and accepted the offer straight away. And the people from Anglo and his union said to him, no, you don't know how this works. You must never accept it straight away. We've got to do this for 5 days. So that
it's a show.
It's a show. You've got to get out there. You've got to strike. You've got to make noise. We've got to complain how unreasonable you're being. People have got to get their money's worth out of this performance. And then you might even have to take it on to 2 weeks. And then we can settle on this. And he went, oh, okay, that's how it works. That tells you a lot about Cyril, but it also tells you a lot about the whole, you know, bargaining thing.
Dennis Beckett has an incredible story about working at the Star, you know, because they were down on Sower Street.
Yes.
And remember when the old kind of, in the days when rolling mass action was a thing, and
yes,
there would be thousands of people coming down from Braamfontein into the city. And you know what an amazing storyteller he is.
Dennis, right?
As
he tells
this story of just watching the waves of red coming down. And you know, yesterday's picket was hardly anyone showed up. I mean, really, there were some people in some places. There were like 10 people. Some places
it was
were like 10 people.
It was pathetic.
It was
pathetic. But here's the story.
The guys in the front always would like link hands so that they can control the flow.
Right.
And just at the standoff between the police, just at the bottom of Sower Street coming into the city, between the police on the one side and the marchers on the other side. And because the wave was so big, the guys in the front couldn't actually hold that line and got lifted up by the waves of people kind of coming up. They actually got lifted up off the floor because that's just how many people just trying to keep the line from coming at them, and the police standing on the one side, just like waiting for some kind of thing. And that's always such a scary scene. And being in the center of it, so being on the one side, watching both sides, watching the police and the picketers. And those police are always so scared, right? Because there's so many people, they've got their guns out, and they're also a little bit like nervous
of
what's happening, which is part of how those shootouts sometimes actually start out. It's just a little bit of a nervous somebody.
Well, that's why it's always just, it's one person who, you know, makes a mistake, and then this whole thing just erupts into like, you know, this orgy of violence. You've got to be super careful. The police have to be extra, well, both the strikers and the police have to be so restrained, and they have to trust the better devils of their nature to not do anything. because doing something could just result in the most chaotic disaster. So
absolute chaos.
You can imagine. Anyway, so this is what they say in Eyewitness News. They say the SA Federation of Trade Unions and the Congress of South African Trade Unions have come together to hand over a memorandum at the union buildings in Pretoria. On Wednesday, affiliated members marched in various cities across the country. They've been protesting the high cost of living. The unions held separate shutdown demonstrations in the capital earlier on Wednesday, despite telling the media early in the week they would put aside their differences so that they could campaign jointly. So the unions couldn't even get together to campaign as one. And the unions eventually read out their demands to the minister in the presidency, Mondli Gungubele. He was expected to address the media after receiving the memorandum. Some of the demands read included a call for the decrease in the fuel price, stricter policies on governing retrenchments in the public sector, and more stringent measures for addressing gender-based violence. Gungubele's office has promised the presidency will do what they can to respond to the demands, which means nothing. Also, it's interesting that our unions have become public sector unions now, not private sector unions. You know, it used to be that the unions were up against business in the old days. It was, you know, the mining companies and the retail companies and all of those things. Now, it's public sector unions. So, in other words, it's the government workers protesting against the government. So, it's an internal issue. It's something that the average South African doesn't care about, which is probably why we don't pay much attention.
But it also, with so much joblessness, how many people are in the union to begin with?
Right. And then, of course, they always do. As I said, I watched JJ Tabane on ENCA on Tuesday. As the unions always do, they try to make it look like business is the bad guy. But unions like Kasatu have nothing to do with big business because none of them are employed by big business. So what's the point of even bringing them into the conversation, right? Crazy. It's absolutely stupid. So that's one thing that you needed to know this morning. Another thing that's kind of important is, you know, these Checkers Little Shop products. I'm sure that you've seen them, right, Pumi? Do you know what these are?
When they first started, Kanego was small enough to want to collect them.
Right. He's too old now, but I mean, there are kids all over that are collecting these things. So apparently you can sell them for up to 50 rand each, but you probably will have more luck swapping them. Some South Africans are obsessed with a third edition of the Little Shop collectibles, enough that they'll pay up to 50 rand for a missing piece from the set of 24. Such sales seem to be pretty rare. Those trying to sell full sets for up to 550 rand are not having much luck, though. But how do you like that? So if you have any of these, apparently some of these things are more popular than others. So I've seen the little water bottle, which people say is their favorite one, right? It looks like an actual little bottle of water. Very, very cool. Then there's Sunlight Liquid, Omo Washing Powder. They started with those in the first Little Shop. The second one had Domestos Ultramel. And this new one has got lots of new things in it. And people are very into it. I mean, it's not going to make you a fortune, but, you know, we did Collectomania on this show. And people collect things. We can't help it. G-Star says, yeah. I've started collecting them. They're cute.
They are very cute. But you know, when they started, we were spending a lot more at the Checkers and stuff. We were spending a lot more, so it was easy to collect. Like right now, the price of things.
I'd be interested to hear how
successful it is this time around this campaign.
Well, if you're collecting them, let us know. Tell us how many you have and which one you're missing. And we can maybe do a little swap right on the show. a Twitter whistleblower has raised security concerns. So this is someone at Twitter. A former security chief at Twitter has turned whistleblower, testified that the company misled users and U.S. regulators about gaps in its security. So, I mean, Twitter also has to deal with this, and we're talking a little bit later about whistleblowers. But the accusations could affect a legal battle between Twitter and billionaire Elon Musk, who is trying to cancel his $44 billion deal to buy the company. The guy's name is Peter Zlatko, and or Zatko, and he claimed Twitter underestimated how many fake and spam accounts are on their platform. Well, this was Elon's whole argument, right? He criticized the way in which Twitter handled sensitive information and claimed that it has failed to identify and accurately report some of these matters to regulators. Among his concerns, he said that so-called insider threats, security risks posed by people with malicious intent from within the company, went virtually unmonitored. He also said that Twitter handles data very badly, alleging too many employees had access to sensitive systems and user data. He worried that the company had no workable disaster recovery plan and claimed that in the past they'd properly failed to delete the data of people who canceled their accounts. So if you've canceled your account, that doesn't mean you don't exist on Twitter anymore.
But this is the thing about the internet. Even when you've deleted it, it's still there.
Correct.
It's still there.
We will have to see. He said, the same guy said that he has no idea how Twitter could verify many of its 229 million active daily users and prove that they're actually human. There's no way they can do that at this stage. So we don't know. So many of the people might be bots. And that's why you can't take Twitter seriously. That is why you should not worry about Twitter. And then Elton John is in the news as a final thought here for this morning's headlines. He held this gala dinner. And he gave all the diners there a preview of Britney Spears' first music since 2016. he gave a bunch of French diners.
What?
A preview. Yeah. Listen to this. He recorded a duet with Britney Spears called Hold Me Closer, which will be released on Friday. He couldn't resist sharing the track with the patrons of a restaurant in Cannes on Tuesday night. After approaching the restaurant's DJ, he sang along with the track, streaming his reaction on his Instagram page. And wearing a colorful shirt and matching shorts, Sir Elton, who had hip surgery last year, remained seated for the performance. You want to hear some of it, Pumi?
Does he live in Cannes now? Why does he keep popping up in restaurants at Cannes?
So he's got a house in the south of France. So I think that's where he spends a lot. He's just moving into the DJ booth now. And then he gives the guy the recording. I'm going to play it for you. Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
Yeah, but
I'm trying to get to the music, though. No. It takes a little bit long. Okay. Here is Elton John on Instagram. Let me try and move it along because it's quite a long cut. Here we go. Okay, so it's Tiny Dancer, basically. And they've got Britney singing parts of it. That's all. He's been lazy. He just took one of his old songs and got Britney to do parts of it. Sorry, that's all I got. In case you thought it would be more interesting than that, I've built it up for the Britney Spears fans, if there are any of those left lying around. I'm sorry, that's all I got. Now, you wanted to talk.
You did build it up.
I built it up, sorry. You wanted to talk about the price of a tin of fish. What the hell is what is this? What are you talking about?
Not the price, the value.
What do you mean?
A tin of fish.
What's the value of a tin of fish?
So you guys know I have lots of interesting encounters with amazing South Africans every day.
Mm-hmm.
And in a meeting yesterday, I met an incredible woman. She's in business and she works in the recycling part of our economy.
Yeah.
And commodities trading. And she was just talking about how fed up she is with all of the money that she gives out, and she feels like it doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the beginning of lockdown, she changed the way she tips people. And I thought, oh my God, this is such a good idea. I'm going to talk to the guys about this. Because we're always talking about what can you do? What can little old me do that makes a difference, right? And you always start where you are with the people closest to you. You can make a difference. And her whole thing is now she carries in the boot of her car, or whatever, a whole lot of canned goods. So whether it's a tin of fish or baked beans or Viennas or any of that stuff. And instead of giving like the car guard R5, because what can you do with R5?
Yeah.
She'll give them a tin of whatever, a tin of fish, a tin of baked beans. And that's like, because that, with your R5, you may not like make the meal for the day. And we know this. Mm-hmm. I talk about how much people live on less than R20 a day. And then you've given one person, at least, you know, one family, something to make a meal with in that day, even if they don't collect tons and tons and tons of. And I thought, oh my God, that is so cool. Because that's always when we were at school, they'd be like, oh, they're doing, you know, non-perishables, everybody, or like the 1 kg thing of mealie meal. That's what she gives now, instead of giving a like a R5.
I had lunch yesterday with Canthan, and we were ordering something for starters, and he ordered chicken livers. And then he, you know, they give you those pieces of bread with it, like sort of toasted bread. And he didn't eat the bread, and he put it into a little napkin, and he said, this I'm going to give to the guy at the robot. And this is apparently what he does, because he doesn't eat bread. So this is one of the things that he does. So he takes a piece of his meal. Now, I mean, you take your chances, though, Pumi, because some of the people who are either begging or, you know, helping you park your car or looking after something or whatever, you know, all these people who are hustling for some money, some of them don't want a tin of fish, and they're not going to be very pleased when you give them that instead of money.
Yeah, they don't have to take it.
What, they'll just say no?
Yeah, they can say no.
Hmm, okay. I just thought,
you know, or even like that 1 kg of mealie meal. I thought that was really cool. There's a guy on this, and I thought it was really cool because I have seen people who ask you for a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You know, so people who don't actually ask you for money, who ask you for a loaf of bread. Or
right.
There's a guy that asked me for a masu.
Yeah.
Near the Woolworths. And I actually thought, oh, you know what? This is something.
Okay.
This is something that can definitely make a difference to one person or one family. Because what if they don't, on that day, you know, don't make the R20 that they need to even get in the car to get back home, right? So they're definitely not even going to make a meal out of that. And I thought that is a really, so maybe it's not, I don't eat tinned fish. It's my mother's favorite thing.
I can't eat it. That's probably why I'm so put off by this idea.
It is my mom's favorite thing, is pilchards.
Even talk about pilchards, I start getting like nauseous. Oh, it's my least favorite thing. Oh, my God. I don't know why. You remember fish paste that they used to put on our sandwiches and things at school? Remember?
I love fish paste.
But, sorry.
Toast with fish paste.
I don't know.
I
smell that stuff. Pumi, it has such an adverse effect on me. It's horrible.
Yeah, maybe baked beans.
Anyway, so I mean, like, you know, there are a lot of people here with interesting ideas. Michael says, imagine car guards carrying around 20 cans of donated beans. I wouldn't need to go into the shop. I could just buy my goods outside.
Like food parcels, guys. Food parcels are a huge thing. They are a big thing. Remember all those lines of people who were standing in all those places, especially in the hard lockdowns, waiting to receive food parcels. And that's what food parcels are made of. They're made of tins of fish and baked beans.
Yeah.
And sugar, like a 1 kg thing of sugar. So these are things that... Definitely.
Anna Marie says
that make a difference.
Anna Marie says it's a cool idea, but the car guard, it's his job. How would you like to be paid in tin food? Yeah.
It's not a job. It's just like begging. It is like begging. If it was a job, you would be able to like go to a single person that has hired you who would give you a paycheck at the end of the month.
A lot of people now suddenly all into the discussion of fish paste.
Fish paste.
Oh my God. I've literally opened a can of fish here. It's the best, but it's gone. Bring it back, says Steve E. They took fish paste away from us. Why? I love it. Nothing better than a slice of toast, says Rusty. Daniel says, Red Row fish paste.
What do they mean? What do they mean they took it away? There's no fish paste in the store.
No. This was a bit. Come on, Pumi. You're only getting this information now. A couple of months ago.
They withdrew it.
It was a huge outcry on social media. People were posting pictures of their last ever bottle of fish paste. And no, it's gone. It's gone. It's done. Thank God. I say good riddance. Mm-hmm. It's over.
Oh, dear.
No, sorry. It's over.
And do you know how expensive anchovies are? A little thing of anchovies like that
is super
expensive.
Again, I have to tell you, it's not something I eat, so I'm completely out of my depth on this thing. In December, says Tracy, you can buy food and Christmas hampers at the supermarkets, buckets with all sorts of bare and basic essentials. Yeah, people used to give those away like around Christmas time as well. That's why you see them in the stores.
I still do.
You still do, huh? A hamper.
I still do.
A hamper. That's what they call them, right? Yeah.
A Christmas hamper.
Exactly. Dogoza says fish paste is horrible. He agrees with me. Why was there ever a need for that? Agreed. Yeah. Pumi is now shocked, says Steve. like Cyril's shocked.
Extremely.
Yeah. Business opportunity. Bring back fish paste. Well, you see, you people are all into this, but I don't believe there's that much of a market for it. I think the reason that they've canned it is because it's horrible. Nobody wants it except Pumi.
I thought it
and
was
like
the
two
Marmite.
Or three people in the comments.
I thought it was the Marmite that they had.
No, I didn't even know this, but there's apparently a huge difference between Marmite and Bovril as well, which I was unaware of.
Yes, there is.
So which one is the one that's made out of plant and which one's the one that's made out of animal? Do you know?
Bovril like beef, and Marmite is the fermented.
Okay, well, I think both are gross, and maybe again because I used to get them on my sandwiches when I was a kid. Everything that was in a lunchbox or that I used to have for breakfast as a child, I cannot touch anymore. Cereals, can't touch. Marmite, can't touch. Bovril, can't touch. Fish paste, will not touch. And then the other one was...
Even cereal.
Yeah, I can't do... Pumi, I don't have any... I have not had cereal... for breakfast since I was in matric. That was the last time I had cereal.
Wow.
I would rather go without breakfast than eat cereal. Can't do it. Horrible. I don't do oats.
Wow.
It's amazing. I've just been put off those things. There's something about that. Maybe I associated it with having to go to school or something unpleasant, but I can't eat any of that stuff for breakfast. Not one of them.
Sure. What a life you're living.
Terrible, right? So I'd rather just not have breakfast. I'd rather do none of that. Peanut butter is still the best. Bovril drink in hot water is like a... Steve, you have a disgusting, disgusting appetite. Revolting. Melrose cheese spread. Rusty wants to know, not even Cocoa Pops. Unbelievable. Yeah, all right. Now all the gross things are coming out. Cereal is an excuse for a breakfast. Give me bacon and eggs. So you see, that's something I've never been put off of, ever. That's good. Processed foods will ultimately sicken you. Well, I mean, that's a very general statement, right? So I think there are some processed foods that are not so bad for you. You know what I did make for myself last week for breakfast one morning? I made toast with strawberry jam and cheese on it. How's that?
Oh, wow.
That's nice. But you can't have too many of those, nice. You know. You do one of those every, I don't know, 6 months, and it's enough. But I'm not we've discussed this before. I'm not a big breakfast guy anyway. So usually before 12 in the afternoon, I haven't actually had anything to eat, and that's absolutely fine. After 12, it starts becoming a problem, though. And if you aren't careful about what you eat after 12, you will overdo it, or you'll eat something that like takeaways or something that's bad for you. You don't want to be doing that, right? Tracy says her favorite go-to breakfast is mushrooms on toast. Yes, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. That's lovely. You people that eat cheese with jam. Blah, says Beth. Matzos with Bovril is the best, says G-Star. See, these people with their weird menus. I like this, though. Michael says, Gareth, you're such a food grinch. I just want a food pill. Yeah, I mean, I still think that would be a great solution. For the people who want it, like Michael, we're not saying everybody should have to take a food pill in the morning. But if you could, and it would sort you out for the day, I would. You probably wouldn't. You might like to eat real food. And you can carry on doing that. No one's going to stop you. No one's going to force you to have the food pill, you know? I still think a lot of our social occasions are around food. So I don't think people will give up food, even if you...
And it's become more. It's become more in the past couple of years. I mean, food has become a definite, like, entertainment
place. Oh, for sure, because it's also so expensive.
Farmers markets. Food has become a definite, like, central entertainment element over the past couple of years. And look, and food is great and all. It's the making of the food that's also a little bit of a time killer, right? So some of us, I love making food. You all know this. I love making food.
Yeah, you do.
But I think I could do with probably four times in the week. With the boys at school, and I'm like coming home late from work or whatever, I could do with the food pill.
Oh, for sure.
I could do with the food pill and then just go to a food pill and a little bit of a non-sleep pill.
Mm-hmm.
And then 30 minutes later, I'm ready to go again.
Absolutely.
I have so much more time on my hands.
I love Vincent says here, the worst spread I had on toast was Vegemite. It's like Satan shat in your mouth. The worst fucking taste ever. So that's something from Australia. Vegemite. Mm.
It definitely sounds like something from Australia.
Yuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Anna Marie agrees with me. I never understood when people say the experience of eating a food pill sounds great. Again, you do what you want to do. I mean, no one's going to force anybody, right? I used to love having Melrose and peanut butter, says Ulrich. Okay. All right, fine, cool. See, different breakfasts. I mean, this is really useful stuff because now we're all hungry because we're all thinking about all these different things for breakfast. So when you finished with the show this morning, or maybe even while you're listening to us this morning, you're busy getting your breakfast ready. Ooh, Rusty says crispy bacon and avocado. Nice. That's cool. I chew raw rice from time to time. It's therapeutic, says Sanele. Raw rice. Yo, okay.
So you need the strong teeth pill.
Definitely. What about sandwich spread? My God, what a mad thing to put on a sandwich. What is sandwich spread? What do they put in there? Like, what do they do with sandwich spread? Do you know?
Sandwich spread is an awful thing. That is definitely one thing from my childhood that I don't have anymore.
It's like a
mayonnaise paste with like pieces of something, pieces of vegetables, and
carrots and cabbage and shit. West. Yeah, that's not good. Michael says he's already picturing the People's Republic of Gareth Cliff. No food, no sleeping, none of those damn noisy children. You make it sound like I'm an evil totalitarian communist dictator, and I'm not. I've just said, Michael, you don't have to have the food pill. You can still eat your meals. You don't have to take the sleep pill. If you want to use your nighttime or daytime to sleep, you can do that. No one's going to get in your way, I promise. So all of that's still on the menu.
You want to use six of your very good daytime hours. Six to eight hours a night.
Right.
For years and years of the 67 years that you have to live.
You go for it. You want to do that. I'm not going to. If Pumi's invention of the no need to sleep pill comes along, I'll be up front in the very beginning of that queue to ask for my pill. And trust me, I'll buy more than just one.
Do you know how much time do you like waste sleeping?
I know. I feel the same way. I feel exactly the same way. If I could, I wouldn't sleep. Oh, but it's nice when you do have a good sleep, hey? And I struggled to get out of bed this morning. I was lying in bed this morning going, oh, come on. Just today, you know, when you look at your alarm and you set it, but you only set it 2 minutes ahead. So there's no point. You may as well just get up. But you're like, ooh, for those 2 minutes, you lie there going, oh, Just one more minute. That's how people feel. I love that. All right. Well, we've got to come back with the...
Yes? I have to tell you this because I've just Googled how much time does an average person sleep. So it says here, if you live to 75 years, which is 10 years more than what South Africa's like life expectancy is, you're going to spend 25 of those years sleeping. 25. If you sleep for 8 hours a night.
25 years.
What a waste. 25 years sleeping. 9,125 days.
What a waste. Sleep for 25 years. If you give me 25 years back, that would put me... that would put me at what? It's at 20. How old would I be? Hang on a second. I need to do some maths here. This is really bad. I can't believe
You'd
how
be old. You'd be 20, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Right, you'd be correct. 20 I'd be if 20. You got 25 yeah, correct, years obviously. Back.
20 years. I'd be 20 again. I'd like that time back. Thank you. I'll take it. If I could not have sleep and have 20 years back, 25 years back, taking it. Every day and twice on Sundays. All right, we've got to break for the Burning Platform, which is coming up next. We're going to be joined by Lucanyo Kalata and by Solly Moeng, who are both terrific people I've been wanting to talk to for a long time. Solly's obviously a returning champion on the show, but Lucanyo is a very, very interesting man. I actually read Lucanyo's book last year about the whole story of his father. And we'll get into that, and I'll tell you the whole story. I'll give you the background in a short while. But a really interesting discussion, which we're going to have in the Burning Platform, about whistleblowers in general, but also a bunch of other things that are going on in the news. And we'll get to that and more in just a short while. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. CliffCentral.com.